Hi, welcome to New Hope Community Church Online. The sermon you are about to hear was originally given by Pastor Chuck Wilson. New Hope Community Church, to know, to live, and to share Jesus Christ.
And we're on James chapter 4. If you need a Bible, be our guest, take it. It's our gift to you. If you need one for somebody, take it. Also, there's tapes and CDs of the service. They're all free in the back. Help yourself, or if you've missed a couple of weeks, you know, in the summer, vacations, whatever, grab the extra CDs there. See the guys in the back that can set you up with those. And also, there's podcasts. If you ever want to use the podcasting, we have that. Just go on the website. Down the bottom of the website, you'll see where you can click on and listen to the different podcasts. Really appreciate Karen putting that together for us. But today, interesting, we're in James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and remember when you were younger, maybe it's now for those who are younger, and you would say something that your parents didn't really like you saying about brother, sister, or somebody, and they would say, if you can't say something nice, you've all heard that, right? You don't say anything at all, right? And in school, teachers would say the same, and that's something we hear, Sunday school, we hear that very, very often. Well, this comes from James, all right? Your mom didn't come up with it. This came from James. James, the title today is If You Can't Say Something Nice. And he says the same thing here in chapter 4. And before I read it, let me pray. Father, we thank you for the worship. We thank you for the ministries, that the way your Holy Spirit is just bubbling up and moving in people to minister and to reach out with the love of Christ to so many people. We thank you for your great faithfulness to us as a church. Amazing that we're only almost 10 years old coming up here. We just thank you for your great faithfulness. And we're just happy to survive, and yet you're letting us thrive spiritually. So many of us growing and moving forward in our walk. But we just pray that now you would use this passage to help us to grow. And help us, I know it's going to challenge us all, challenge us in the way that you want to use our mouths for blessing in many ways. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me read it first. Verses 11 and 12. He says, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Usually I do like 3, 4, 5 verses. I only got through 2 this time. There's a lot of those verses. First of all, verse 11, brothers. He starts off, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. He starts off saying brothers, and he's reminding us of something right off the bat, that we're all Christian brothers and sisters. We're all connected. We're a spiritual family, which is probably why they were fighting. You know how families are. But he's reminding us that it's not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to have a special bond here. And he says, don't slander. The NIV says slander. The Greek, the literal Greek says, don't speak against. And that could mean slander, but it could also mean questioning a legitimate authority or falsely accusing. Any of those parts of the word apply, but really speaking against someone. And he says, don't do it, and then he puts it in the present imperative. If you know your English, imperative is a command, and present means it's present command. And the idea was it was already happening in the church. And James was saying, really what he's saying is, stop it. Hey, knock it off, kids. Family, brothers, sisters, knock it off, right? He's giving us that kind of thing. Because, he says, you are judging the law. You're judging the law. Now, one way we judge the law when we speak against someone is, first of all, the law, the Old Testament law, Leviticus 19:16. Leviticus 19:16 says, do not go about spreading slander among your people. So that was one of the commands of the law, breaking law. But James, remember when we looked at James chapter 2, we saw that James, when he talks about the law, he's including the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament law, prophets, and he's also including the New Testament teachings of Christ. He combines them all into one law to be followed. In fact, in James 2:8, let's just back up a a couple chapters there. And James 2:8, for those who are here for that, remember what he said? He said, if you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. And so he combines, we saw in James that he's combined the Old Testament, New Testament into one royal law. And he explicitly mentions loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, we've heard that Old Testament and New Testament, right? Now, when we break, what he's saying here, though, is when we break the law, the Old Testament, New Testament, the royal law, when we break that by slandering someone, we are sitting in judgment of it. We're saying, I know better than God's law. I know better than what Jesus said. I know better. We put ourselves above that. Because isn't that what happens when we break the law willfully? I know we all do it accidentally sometimes. But when we willfully break a law, what are we saying? I don't care about that law. I don't have to follow that law. I know better, right? Now, a law is given to protect us, most of them. but the law, the intent of a law is to protect individuals and society from hurting themselves and hurting each other, right? That's why we make laws. We don't just make laws. But when we break it, we're saying, I know better. That can't hurt me. And really, they can, can't they? Breaking the law can hurt. We speed, we get an accident, we use drugs, we hurt ourselves, hurt other people. And the same thing spiritually. When we break one of God's laws, we're saying, I don't have to follow that. But God made his law for us to follow so that we could live the ultimate life and have a good life and not hurt other people, hurt ourselves. So when we break it, we're really hurting ourselves. But we're thinking, I know better, but we're sitting in judgment of God's law. Right? And that's what James is talking about here. Then he also says in verse 12, let's pick it up, chapter 4, verse 12, where he says, brothers, do not slander one another. I'm sorry, I'm reading 11. Here, 12. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor? It's also bad, not only because we're judging law, but he also says we're judging our neighbor. We're judging our neighbor. We're not only putting ourselves above the law, we're putting ourselves above other people. Whenever we put somebody down, who are we putting up? Ourselves, right? And that's often why we do it, isn't it? Often when we put people down, we're trying to put ourselves up because maybe we don't feel, you know, we're a little jealous or we don't feel good about ourselves, right? Isn't that really, I mean, I hate to admit it, but often why I'm putting somebody down is I'm jealous or I want to put myself above them or I have a bad self-image in some area. And isn't that true often why we do it? But we're not only judging the law, we're judging other people. And we love to judge, don't we? Isn't it human nature? I mean, the bad part, not what God wants us to have, but the sinful human nature. Isn't it human nature just to judge? Think about it. It's almost like what we do automatically is human, fallen human beings. We judge everything. Someone goes on a vacation, we judge the vacation. How are they affording that? Why are they going there? What are they doing? We judge people's houses. We judge their parenting skills and their kids, right? We judge everything. Listen, I've heard it all with that one. Now, I have to admit, first of all, before I was a parent, when I was a youth pastor, I was a youth pastor for 10 years, and I had all the answers. I could point to any parent and tell them what they did right, what they did wrong, then, you know, put an equation and tell them what they had to fix their kid. I knew it all. Then I had kids, and boy, I'm glad I'm not a youth pastor anymore, because I have to say, I have no idea what to do. You know, I'm glad Matt's the youth pastor. Now he's got to come up with the answers. I did my share of judging and still do. I admit that. But I have to admit, with 13 kids, I've heard it all, right? When the kids do well, oh, he pushes them too hard. People, I hear the whispers. When they underachieve, he's got too many kids. He can't keep up with them all. He can't help them all. When they give them some spiritual space, they're going through their struggling, searching time spiritually. Well, you've given them too much freedom. But then when they rebel, well, you've been too strict with them. You know, you can't win sometimes. I homeschool them, and people say, well, you're sheltering your kids. I put them in the public school, and they get a little wild. Oh, you're letting them be too worldly. You know, you get my point, right? Whatever we do, we could judge it, right? And we do, don't we? And I know a lot of you, I see some of you squirming. I know you've been thinking. But I've been thinking the same about you, so there you go. We judge each other all the time, don't we? It's crazy. But that's what we do. It's human nature. The fallen part, the bad part, and that's why he's getting us, you know, why James is stressing this, not judging each other. We judge our elected leaders. No matter whether it's our political party or not, you know, we're always judging our elected leaders, right? And we judge our teachers. We judge our, you got your lists. I've been hearing the kids, I got this teacher. We judge our teachers, except our math teachers. We all love our math teachers at New Hope and softball coaches. All right, so same thing there. So we judge our coaches. You know, whoever's coaching our kids, we're always critiquing. I'm like, wait, why am I saying that? Or we judge our pastors. Nobody here, but I know churches that judge their pastors. I remember this one guy. He's a newer Christian, and I remember him coming to me and saying, "What do you do all day?" Now I knew what he was really asking. Why are we paying you, right? Why do we have to pay you? And that's what he's really saying. And what do you do all week? And he kept asking me, as you know, every once in a while I'd jab it again. What do you do all week? And he wanted to kind of know. And I know what he's asking. Why do we need you? You know, why do we have to pay you at least? Right? And then one time he had moved away, and I remember he was asked to speak somewhere, and he was speaking. They asked him to speak at it was not even church. It was just like a Bible study thing, and he had to put together like a little sermon and story, and he did it. He kept calling and asking me for advice, and I gave it to him. And then he did it, and he's like, this is so stressful putting together this talk. You know, I must have put 40 hours into this. And then he gave the talk, and it went well, but he came back after. He said, I'll never do it again. That was so much work. It was so hard. How do you do that every week? You know, and I said, I got you now, you know. I said, that's nothing. The sermon's the easiest part of my job. I go, that's the easiest by far. He goes, really? I go, yeah, that's the easiest part. All the troubles and struggles and all the other things are the hard part. That's nothing. And after that, he never asked me that question again. Never asked me that again. So, but we do judge. You know, we judge each other constantly, don't we? It's just a struggle that we have. And James says here, he says there is only, look at verse 12, there's only one judge. There's one judge, and his name is God. And only he can really judge what's going on in somebody's life. Only he can really judge someone's true spiritual condition and their eternal destiny. Only he knows. Only he knows if someone really has put their faith in Christ. Only he knows if it's real. Only he can really judge us ultimately. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't ever judge something. I hear that all the time. You know, as a pastor, I'm in a group, and somebody say, don't judge, pastor. You Christians, don't judge. You know, don't judge all the time. And listen, I hear it a lot. If someone's doing something really wrong or something really dumb, you know, and if I point it out, they don't judge. People love to say that, right? Even Christians. As a pastor, one of my jobs is to admonish and deal with something. And I've seen Christians in very serious sin destroying themselves and their family. And if I try to help them and point it out and try to confront it and deal with it, it's unbelievable how many times they say, don't judge. You're not supposed to judge. You're not being like Jesus, you know. Well, what does the Bible really say about all judging? Because, you know, on the one hand, aren't we supposed to judge? But on the other hand, James is saying don't judge. I want to look at Matthew chapter 7 here. If you want to flip back or just put it up behind us here. But it's interesting because there is this tension, right? There's this back and forth. What does the Bible really teach about it? And I bet a lot of you are saying, yeah, I want to know. Because in our society, we constantly hear don't judge, right? Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, he says, do not judge, Jesus talking, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Okay, so don't judge, right? But then look down at verse 15. Verse 15, he says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Kind of a contradiction in a way, right? But it's not. Jesus is saying, don't judge people, but do judge fruit. Don't judge people, but do judge action. See, we can't judge people's character or their motives. Why? Because we can't see. That's usually what we judge, right? We can't see what their real motive is. That's unseen. We're guessing based on an impression to judge their character or their motives. But we should judge actions. That's the fruit. If someone steals something, well, you just stole something. That's wrong. Somebody lies. You didn't misspeak. That was a lie you just told. That was wrong. We can judge that. But even then, we have to be very careful, don't we? Even when we judge somebody's actions, we have to be careful. We don't jump from the action back to the character. So if someone tells a lie, oftentimes someone tells a lie, we say, that's a lie. You're a liar. See what we did? We went from judging the action, which we should do, to judging the character. And biblically, we can judge actions. We're supposed to, but we're not supposed to judge people's character. If someone's messy, we say, you know, we can say that your room's messy, but we shouldn't say you're a pig. You know, see, you see the difference? There's a difference. You can say something's messy. You know, you get the idea. But we are called as Christians and as a church to judge. We're called to discipline sin. The Bible calls it church discipline. Church discipline, there's a time and a place for it. 1 Corinthians 5, let me read you something that Paul wrote. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says, I'll just read you a couple verses here. Pick up with verse, let me turn to it here. 5 verses 1 and 2, he says, Paul is talking about a problem in the Corinthian church, there's sin. He says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that does not occur even among the pagans. A man has his father's wife and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? Talking about a stepmother, obviously, here. And it's a sin going on here. Then in verse 5, look what he says in verse 5. He goes on to say, hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. When you put him out of the church, out of the fellowship, you're putting him outside the protective body of Christ. That's what he means by handing him over to Satan so that so he can come under the discipline of Satan there, really. Then verses 9 to 12, listen to what he says here. I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I'm writing that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. We're called to judge. Now, that's not every little sin. Listen, if we judged and disciplined every little sin, you know, come on, none of us would be here, right? But he's talking about sins that are serious, that are deep, that are injuring the body of Christ in the name of Christ and injuring other people. And in the Bible, in Matthew 18, you want to read it another time, Matthew 18 lays it out, how to deal with it. A brother goes to a brother and confronts them and tries to help them. If they don't listen, you take two or three others along, elders, deacons along, and you confront it as a group. And if they still won't listen, then it's church discipline. So it's not just, oh, did I see you steal an apple? You're out of the church. You know, it's not like that. But it's you go through the Matthew 18 process with a brother or sister who's in sin. The whole idea is to get them to turn around. We don't want to throw anybody out of the church, but the whole idea is to get them to turn back, to see that the pain that they're causing the body of Christ into the name of Christ. So there is a time to do that. And the whole goal, I'm going to just flip up ahead to the whole goal of church discipline and what often happens, thank you, God, is 2 Corinthians 2. We see the happy conclusion of this process. In 2 Corinthians 2, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth a second letter. And listen what he says here in the second one, 2 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 8. He's talking about the same situation, most probably. He says, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Going back, that's the whole goal. Once there is a repentance, once a person comes to their senses, being cut off from the body of Christ, and they come back and they're broken and different, when that happens, we reaffirm, we love them, and restore them, and it's like that never even happened. That's the whole goal of church discipline. And I say that because we do practice church discipline. It's very important, but the whole goal is to lovingly restore someone to the body of Christ. And don't ever let anybody say to you, don't judge. Because as Christians, we're called to judge actions. Not the heart, but outward actions. We're called to do that. Only God can judge the heart. The problem with the church today, though, is very few churches do church discipline. Very few churches discipline biblically, don't they? But you know what they do? All the individuals run around judging each other, right? They don't do what we don't do what we're supposed to do. Most churches, it's happening what we're not supposed to do, that the individual jabbing and slamming and judging, not the church discipline. We need to get the church back on track as a church in America, right? How is God speaking to us today? I'm only going to do two verses because if you're like me, you're under a lot of conviction right now. And you have it easy. See, I get triple conviction. Not because I'm more holy, but because God probably knew that I needed more triple conviction. Because 6 months ago when I studied this passage, I started studying about six months to a year ago. I started studying ahead and let it germinate and incubate and all that. And 6 months ago I was convicted. Oh, man. Then this week, as I'm really putting it together, I'm convicted all over again. And then as I'm preaching, I'm convicted all over again. I'm like, why am I up here saying this? Because I got the biggest problem less than anybody. So I get triple conviction. You have it easy. You only get one. Although if you study your Bibles at home, like the Bixels were saying, you get double conviction. So anyway. And I hope you do study ahead on your own. How is the Holy Spirit convicting you? How is he convicting us? How have we been speaking against the wrong way? How have we been judging people? Who have we been judging? Who have we been judging? Maybe we've even developed a critical spirit. We can't even open our mouth without saying critical things. You ever get that continuous attitude, that critical funk we get into where we just find ourselves really, really negative? What's behind it? Maybe I talked about jealousy. Maybe we don't feel good about ourselves. Maybe resentment towards someone. Maybe we need to forgive somebody. Because often it's because of bitterness, right? We're hurt by somebody. And because we've been hurt by somebody, we keep saying something rough about them. Because really, really what's behind it is we've been hurt, right? And sometimes, this is just kind of hit me today too. Sometimes it's because we're projecting. We're projecting. Oftentimes when someone we know is criticizing someone, when we're suspicious of someone's motives, for instance, often it's because what's in our heart, right? I'll even say it to someone, to myself, starting point, but I'll say it to someone who says, I think this person's up to this or that, and there's no proof of it. They just think of that. I often will say, my dad had a saying, a skunk always smells himself first. On the farm that was. And whenever we would say something, he would say that. And it's true. When someone says, I think they might be doing this or that, and there's no proof. I mean, if there's proof, obviously, we got to judge that, right? But I'm talking about when there's no proof. They're just kind of have an impression. I'm like, you're making me nervous because I'm thinking maybe I got to watch you a little closer. That shuts them right up. Because oftentimes, isn't it true? Think of what we see in other people. We're projecting our own, many times, our own weaknesses, our own problems, right? How is God speaking to us? When I was in India, a while back, it's probably about 15 years ago now. They probably use toothbrushes now, but at that time, in India, instead of toothbrushes, most people, because it's been, seriously, it's so westernized, probably a lot of people there use toothbrushes. But when I was there, most of the people in India did not use toothbrushes. They thought that was silly. Why are you brushing your teeth with that stuff? They used something called a tongue scraper. And I got one right here. And everybody in the morning, they realized, just like, which is true, the bacteria is on the tongue. Don't brush the teeth, brush the tongue. If you want to get your mouth clean, if you want to get up this morning and not have, you know, that dragon breath, you need to brush your tongue. And so they would take these scrapers and they would scrape their tongue. Now, before I went to India, everybody warned us, watch out, there's a lot of diseases, you could die very quickly, cholera, that kind of stuff, you never know, stay away from the water, all that stuff. And so we were a little nervous anyway, but you knew most of these diseases came with throwing up, you know, being sick. And so we were just kind of on our guard. And I'll never forget, we're in the hotel, and the early in the morning, we heard all this gagging sounds, right? And we're like, it's here. We can't open the door. Cholera is in the hotel. We're all going to die. You know, we're all scared, right? Everybody's okay. We got out. Next morning, same thing. It's again. You know, finally, we found out they have these tongue scrapers, and they put them way down in their throat, and they scrape, and they gag, and, you know, make all these noises cleaning off their tongues so they have, you know, don't have dragon breath. And they use these scrapers to clean their tongues. And I brought one home because I never tried using it. I use a toothbrush. I'm, you know, American and all that. But I brought it home because it reminds me of something. They were onto something. Not for the germs, but spiritually, we all need a spiritual tongue scraper, don't we? Every morning, we probably should take a spiritual tongue scraper and scrape our tongues. And I keep it to remind. I keep it right in our room on a glass, like just to remind me about the tongue. I probably should keep my pocket to remind me, right? But we need a spiritual tongue scraper. What will yours be? Maybe someone who can help remind you. Maybe an accountability person. Maybe a Bible verse. I have a Bible verse that I wanted to put up here. 1 Corinthians 4:5. I think it's a really good one. And it's one of my tongue scrapers. You can come up with your own. But he says, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. We can judge actions, but only God can judge the motives of our hearts or the motives of somebody else's heart. It's very important that we don't cross that line. That's my tongue scraper. You can use it, or you can, I'll sell this one after the service. Or you can come up with your own tongue scraper, spiritual tongue scraper, something to remind you every day, that whole judgment thing. Let's pray. As we go to this time of prayer, how is God speaking to us? In what way have we been judging, or who have we been judging? How have we crossed the line from judging actions to judging somebody's heart? Let's just take some time to just talk to God about that and ask God to start changing our heart and to really convict us. He will. Every time it happens, just start convicting us and helping us with this. It's a lifelong battle. And while we're praying, I want to speak to someone here who may not have put their faith in Christ yet. Maybe you're here today and you're just kind of seeking and searching, or maybe you're getting closer to putting your faith in Christ, but you've never taken that step. James said that God is our judge, and he is. And someday, we're going to stand before God as our judge and be accountable for everything we've said and done, right or wrong. And none of us can stand before God righteous, perfect, like we have to be in order to have a relationship with him, in order to be in heaven with him. But that's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, for all the wrong we've ever done, so that we could be forgiven, because he took our punishment. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." For God, and then he says in verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." He didn't come to judge the world, to condemn the world, but to save it. Have you ever been saved by putting your faith in Jesus Christ? We don't have, no matter what you've done in your life, you don't have to fear standing before God the judge if we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We receive that gift of forgiveness that only Jesus Christ can give. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done that, to do it today. If you're still seeking, that's okay. I don't want to pressure anybody. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you're ready to take that step, I want to encourage you to pray that today. Right now, right where you're sitting. It's no magic prayer. Just something like, "God, I know you're the judge. And I know there's a lot in my life that deserves judgment. But I'm asking for forgiveness because I know Jesus took my punishment. Your Son took my punishment and is offering me forgiveness. And I receive that. I take that. I put my faith in Jesus. And I give my life to him. It's not my life anymore. I surrender to you, God." If you've taken that step of faith this morning, then the Holy Spirit, God's actual Spirit, is in you. And he's going to change you. When you talk bad about somebody, now you're going to feel a little jab right in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. God is living inside of us now. He's going to speak to our hearts. He's going to change us in ways we never thought possible. I want to encourage you to let somebody know too. Tell me, fill out the card, shoot me an email. Let somebody know so we can be excited for you spiritually and help you grow. Father, I pray that you would help us to speak the truth in love. I know there's two temptations. One is to judge everybody. I pray you would really help us not to be judgmental, but only to judge what needs to be judged for somebody's good. The other temptation is not to judge anything, not to say anything that would offend anybody, which is just as damaging. Lord, we know your word says to speak the truth in love. Help us to do that, to speak the truth in love. Pray your Holy Spirit would give us the discernment on when and how to do that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.